ओम अज्ञानक निरंथस्य ज्ञानम जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. So we're reading from the first series of books from Sharanagati, in which Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing his vinaya or humility. He says, Prabhu hai shuna mo dukha dukha kahini. He says, my dear Lord, please listen to my tale of sorrow. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in these songs is describing his life, that I made so many plans for my happiness, but I'm finding that there's no happiness. Vishay hala hao shuddha bhane piyalo ab avashan dinamam. He says that I simply drunk poison, but I was pretending, deluding myself, that it was just like some nectar. This Narottam Das Thakur, he also sings a famous song, which Prabhupada said was his favorite song. Hari Hari Bifale Janana Govainu. He says, my dear Lord Hari, I've simply taken birth uselessly. Manusha Janama Paya Yadha Krishna Bhajiya Janiya Shuniya Vishakayam. He said, I got this valuable human birth, but I didn't take the opportunity to worship Radha and Krishna. Therefore, knowingly I have drunk poison. Especially those who are brought up in India, Vedic culture, they have opportunity to know from birth about Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, all these things. So, knowingly, if they know that life, even life is very rare, it's a great opportunity to worship Krishna. But still they don't, then they're more unfortunate. So, ab-abha-sham-dinamani. Now, the sun is setting on my life, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. In his old age, he's looking back at his life. Now, of course, we know that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a great pure devotee. He is an eternally liberated associate of Lord Chaitanya. But, like some other devotees of Lord Chaitanya also, from the external point of view, it appears that at some stage in his life he was materialistic. He is describing this. Kela rashe shaishab, in my childhood, simply playing. So you may think, well, there's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with children play? Prahlad Maharaj, he didn't think it was a very good idea just to play as a child. That when he was preaching to his school classmates, they said, why are you preaching all these things? We're just little children. But he was very strict. He told them, no, even in your childhood, you must practice Krishna consciousness. Komara acharet pragyod dharman bhagavata nihar devadam narisha janma tadapi adhruvam arutadam. He says that from the very childhood, you should begin. You should begin to practice Bhagavad Dharma, understand Krishna consciousness. Utilize this human form of life. We don't know how long it's going to last. So even as soon as you can talk, as soon as you can walk, you start your Krishna consciousness. Even before that, if the child is so fortunate to be born in a Vaishnava family, then even before birth, the mother will be very careful to train the child in Krishna consciousness. Because even when the child is in the womb, he can hear what's going on outside. So even while in the womb, if he's hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, then that will go in the mind. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, he was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam when he was in the womb of his mother. That's why all his friends were surprised. How did you learn all this transcendental knowledge? You're just a five-year-old boy. You never went to study with any saintly people. So Prahlad explained, I heard it when I was in the womb of my mother. So from the very beginning, even after birth, the children, they should be exposed to kirtan, shunam, bhagavatam, all these things. Now, of course, there's no objection if they play also, but that play, that should be Krishna-centered. Just like that is described, Parikshit Maharaj, even in his childhood, his play was centered around Krishna. And in this way, from the very beginning of his life, he was attached to Krishna. Otherwise, children just playing, if there's no sense of Krishna consciousness, then it's just Maya, not so. Similarly, next thing, Parhaite Kesha, this Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, in my youth, I was very busy studying.
Children.
So we don't say that children shouldn't study, but they should study with Krishna at the center of their studies. Actually, Prabhupada's idea for Gurukul was that the children, they should learn English and some Sanskrit. Then they could read all of his books. And by reading his books only, they would become completely educated. No need anything else. Maybe little something, little worldly knowledge, just little. Prabhupada said that if the children, if they only learn Srimad Bhagavatam, that is complete education. Vidya Bhagavata Jihi. The ultimate limit of all knowledge is Srimad Bhagavatam. And similarly also, we see some of our devotees, they're very eager to learn so many different things. But they should know that if you know Srimad Bhagavatam, then your life is complete and successful. Of course, for preaching to the worldly intellectuals, we may know about so many different things. But we should know that real knowledge is Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. But everything else, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained in another song, Se Vidya Avidya Jani, that so-called materialistic knowledge, that is all ignorance. So, Kedavashe Saishab, Parayte Kishakrisha, Galanun Na Bhelo Videk. So, he said that I was playing as a child, I was studying, but I never thought what is the purpose of life. This word virek means analytical discrimination. Atato brahma jigyasa. Now human life, we should inquire, we should think. Human life begins with thinking. Thinking means not simply how to make big factories, big motor cars, big space rockets, but to think what is the purpose of life. Unless someone thinks like this, unless he has this philosophical analysis, then he's dull, like a stone or an animal. Many people, they're very active on the mental platform. Their brain floats around the world of intellectualism. But their real intelligence is still not open. Because there are so many questions. How is this going on? How are the different energies in this world working? Psychology, history, science, all these different things. But they never think to ask the most important question of all. Ki ani kine yamai jari tapa troi. This Sanatana Goswami asked to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who am I? Why am I suffering in this material world? Unless people ask this question, then all their other questions are useless. Because by those inquiries, they simply stay within this material world. When you ask the right question, who am I? Why am I suffering? Then your path to liberation begins to open. But most people are completely dull, completely blind. They never think of these things. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining. Bhogabashi jovane gaurpati boshilon sukhanika bhayalo anet. He says that, in my youth, I was completely absorbed in thoughts of sense gratification. How I will get house, wife, home, and be very happy. Which Bhaktivinoda Thakur also did. He got his house, his wife, and had many children. Many children and many friends also. Vidyakala arlo shabshut bhagalo. He said, now I've reached my old age and all my worldly happiness has run away. This is the sad story of everyone's life. So many hopes, so many dreams in youth. But in old age, they reach old age and there's nothing to look forward to. All they can do is lament that I wanted to be so happy and I had such a nice life, now it's all finished. Actually, old age, that is Krishna's mercy. That, you can see, the body is falling to pieces all around you. The body which we're very attached to, we're thinking, this is me. But the teeth are falling out, the digestion doesn't work, you can't hear, you can't speak. Even to do the most ordinary thing becomes very, very difficult. In your youth, you feel young and strong and you feel you can do anything. But old age, to do even the most simple thing is a great struggle. I remember I met one sannyasi in Vrindavan. He was actually a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he had a very big body, but it was bent over. He was almost 90 years old. So he told me that in my youth, I was a wrestling champion. I got so many gold medals. He said, but now, even if I want to walk from one place to another, I have to have a stick in one hand and I have to put my hand on someone's shoulder on the other side, then I can go. So those who have a little spiritual intelligence in old age, they understand, now all my hopes for material happiness are finished. Now death is coming. So it's now or never. Now I have to be very careful to think of Krishna only. If I do, then my life will be successful. And if I don't, then after death, I'll have to be born again to grow old again and die again.
There's no more meaning.
Unfortunately, most people, they don't have any spiritual knowledge. They don't have any spiritual information. Even in their old age, they don't think What will happen after death? Very obvious that death is coming to them very soon. But still they waste their time in watching television, playing cards, going fishing, and all kinds of useless activities. But they think, in my old age, I would like to live a very peaceful life. What peacefulness is there? Peaceful means you're peacefully waiting for the Yamadutas to come and drag you to hell. It's like you're like someone who's sentenced to death. He's waiting in the prison, living very peacefully, waiting for his execution. People are so dull, they don't think. Even so obvious they're going to die, but they're thinking, it will be a little later. I still have a few days left. So no need to worry about anything. I can still enjoy life. I can still half see and half hear, so I can still watch the television. I can enjoy life wonderfully watching the television, even though I can't talk, I can't walk, I can't digest anything, but I can still watch television, so life is wonderful. And as far as death is concerned, that will be later, that will be later. No need to worry. It will be a long time in the future. Ahani ahani bhutani gacchantiha yamalayam sthavara ikshanti. This is the analysis. What is the most wonderful thing in the world? You know the story that Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was interrogated by his father, Yamaraj. Yamaraj had come in the form of a yaksha. He said, you answer my questions or I kill you. No, first you have to drink this water, but you can't drink. First you have to answer my questions. So there are many questions and answers. One of the questions the yaksha asked, what is the most wonderful thing in the world? So Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was the emperor of the world, at least previously. So he had seen and heard so many wonderful things. Even the Pandavas, they were in contact with the demigods. Arjuna, he was going to the heavenly planets. And so many rishis used to come and visit them from all over the universe. So he knew about so many wonderful things all over the universe. But when he was asked, what is the most wonderful thing? He didn't say that the Siddhas in the Siddha Loka, they can fly from one planet to another just by their own yogic power. There are so many wonderful things. It's like in the Bhagavatam, it's described that there are big eagles who eat elephants for breakfast. And they fly from planet to planet. And they lay eggs in outer space. And those hatch and again another big eagle comes out. Described in the heavenly planets, there are rivers of mango juice. Or it's described that Lord Shiva, he sits under a banyan tree 8 million miles high and 8 million miles wide. Miles? What's that? You say kilometers? So multiply by about 13 million kilometers high and wide. There are so many wonderful things. In the Bhagavatam, it's also described there are flying mountains. They fly with wings. So when they cause too many problems, then Indra cuts off. When they cause too many problems by coming down and crushing people, then Indra simply cuts off their wings with his thunderbolt. So there are so many wonderful things in the universe. But Yudhishthira Maharaj, he didn't think all of these things are very wonderful. He thought the most wonderful thing is that everybody sees everyone else, so everyone is dying. My father died, my mother died, my father's father died, my father's mother died, my mother's father died, my mother's mother died. The person in the next apartment died, the dog died, the cat died. I opened the newspaper and it said that 5,000 people died in an earthquake. But I'm not going to. I'm going to live forever. This is the most wonderful thing. The power of Maya. Everyone is thinking I will live forever. You say to people that you're also going to die, they will agree, yes, yes. But they don't really believe it. They're thinking, yeah, well, it may be true, but it'll be after a long time. Even in old age, people are not serious that we have to die. They don't care to inquire what will happen after death. Sometimes people criticize the Krishna conscious devotees. Why are you always talking about death? Why so miserable? But they think the devotees are being very pessimistic. But it's not pessimistic, it's realistic. Just like if I tell you, if the rain is pouring outside, and I tell you you should take an umbrella, otherwise you'll get wet. And you may criticize, why are you being so pessimistic? But you're just being realistic, that's all. And if you take an umbrella, then you'll be saved from getting sick. So the same thing, if we analyze what are the miseries, janma mrityu jaravyadhi dukkha doshana darshana, in the Gita, Krishna recommends, we should analyze, we should see what are the miseries, birth, death, old age and disease. If we analyze what are the difficulties, then we can take the sensible action to get free from these difficulties. People say, well, death is natural. So why should you worry about it? I mean, so many things are natural. Then you're getting sick is also natural. And why do you go to the doctor? It's cold in the winter, that's natural. And why do you wear a coat? Just go outside in your underwear. Enjoy the natural cold. You don't because the cold is suffering and you want to avoid it. So death also is suffering. You don't know there's a way to avoid it. But we do know, because we heard from Krishna. So we're not afraid to talk about it, because we're not afraid of death. We know how to get free from death. Janma karma chani vidyam idanga veti tatvatah tatva deham kumara janma na eti nam sojana. Krishna says, anyone who knows about me, my appearance and activities in this world, fully in truth, they no longer have to take birth again in this world, but come to me, Arjuna. So devotees are not pessimistic, they are most optimistic. How can people think we're pessimistic when we're always dancing? Of course, miserable people also sometimes dance. People are so miserable, they drink a bottle of vodka and then they dance. They say, I will drown my troubles in a bottle of whiskey. But the troubles don't go away. When you wake up the next morning, you will have a big headache and your problems are still there. So then you think, well, I'll drink another bottle of whiskey. Then this way, by always drinking, when you have a problem, you drink, you become an alcoholic. And you have more problems. So the real solution is not to forget your problems, the real solution is not to pretend they're not there, but to see what are the problems, birth, death, old age and disease. And then take Krishna's advice how to get free from this problem. Otherwise we have to suffer again and again, repeated birth and death. Material life means the misery of birth, the misery of death, and in between the misery of disease and old age. This old age that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is analyzing, that simply I'm suffering so many pains. So physical pain is there in old age. So many different diseases manifest one after another. Sharira Vyadhi Mandiram, this Vedic literature describes that this body is like a temple of diseases. Just like if you go in a Hindu temple, you'll see so many different gods, worshipping all the gods. So in the same way, if you analyze this body, you'll find all the diseases. So in old age, these become manifest more and more. Physical distress is there. Even worse is the mental distress. Sarvendriya Birbal Keen Kalevar Bhoga Bhavi Dukhita Anto. The materialistic person, when he gets old, he still wants to enjoy. In old age, the ability to enjoy sense gratification becomes almost zero. And even the attempt to enjoy sense gratification, that becomes simply troublesome. It's like even in old age, you may want to eat so many nice foods, but even to chew your food may be very difficult. So the people who are not trained to control their senses, in old age, they suffer very much. They want to enjoy, but they cannot. Sometimes they become very envious of young people. They see the young boys and young girls walking together, laughing together, and they simply feel frustrated. Oh, how I wish I was young and healthy again, and I could laugh and joke with young girls again. But instead of joking with the young girl and boy, when they pass, they make jokes at him. Look at that old fool. So in this way they feel completely frustrated. Of course, by Krishna's grace, because they have such a desire, they are able to fulfill that desire. After their death, they get another body, and they can again enjoy in their youth, with members of the opposite. They can have love affairs, maybe in the body of a dog or a cat, but still, they can go on enjoying. Jnana lobha heen bhakti rashe vanchita ar mor ki hode yethai. So he says that, now my position, I don't have even a slight trace of any spiritual knowledge. What to speak of devotion? So, what will I do? What is my position now? Patita bandhu tuhum patita dhammaham pipai uthau kabapai. So he says, my dear Krishna, you are the friend of the fallen, and I am the most fallen. So kindly live up to your name, and by your mercy lift me up to your lotus feet. Kindly by your mercy lift me up to your lotus feet. Vicharate abahi guna nahi paribin. He says that if you examine me now, you will find I have no good qualities. This human form of life, I pass it through, but if you see my bank balance, good qualities. There's nothing in it. Bankrupt. So as your name is Patita Bandhu, you are the friend of the fallen. I'm asking for some special consideration. Please don't judge me. Everyone has to go before God to be judged. Before Bhagavan Thakur, even before his case is to be examined, he says, please don't make any judgment. Because I know if you make judgment according to my activities, then I'm in a completely hopeless situation. So don't judge me, just give me your mercy. Please feed me the nectar from your lotus feet and take me beyond this ocean of birth and death. So this is one of many, many songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Very instructive for all of us. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is taking the position of a conditioned soul. He is not a conditioned soul. We are conditioned. Our position is we are simply suffering in ignorance in this material world. So through these songs, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching us to analyze what is our position. We are trying to enjoy this material world, but there is no enjoyment here. Even after coming to Krishna consciousness, it's still thinking there must be something good in the material world. Of course, we hear in the Bhagavatam class that the material world is miserable, but after all, that's only the Bhagavatam class. But real life is actually not so bad, it's quite nice. Just like now, it's the summer season, very nice. You can enjoy sitting in the sun. What's the problem? Nothing wrong with material life, quite enjoyable. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is analyzing what is that enjoyment. That sense of enjoyment simply turns into frustration in old age. Prapanchik sukh. They're just very, very temporary feeling of happiness. But that gradually changes and turns into a sense of despair. For those who don't, very